Let's pray together. Father, as we come to this time of the spoken word, I pray you hide me behind the cross and that what you've prepared in my heart might go out into our lives and that it's not what I want to say, but what you want to say through me. Give us ears to listen and then hearts to receive and then give us lives that apply it and use it. Amen. For some of you younger ones, this will be old school. We used to do this, right? This is the what? This is the what? Open it up. Here's the thing. Y'all don't remember that. Put your hands together, boys. You need to learn that, okay? The theology behind that really, though, is wrong. And everybody goes, "Where are you going? What'd you do Sunday morning?" "I went to church." No, you actually are. You know, we've taught that for many generations. This building is not the church. Because like Rose's home church that burnt down last Sunday, and they had to gather somewhere else, they still have church. We are the church. This is just a church house. This is a church building. In fact, when you're not here, there's not much here, but a few tinkles on the piano once in a while, and you know, a few strange noises that happen around here. But we're the church, and I want us just to spend a few moments this morning looking at that again, so that we can be reminded that we are the church and that we need to be the church. First Peter chapter 2. Verses 4 and 5, first of all, they'll be up on the screen. In this particular passage where Peter is writing, he's writing to believers, he's writing to the church, and he's reminding them of who they are. He says, "And coming to him as to a living stone which has been rejected by men." It's talking about that Christ had been rejected, and even believers in his day were being rejected. Their faith, their beliefs, they weren't Jewish, they weren't Greek or some other. It says, but is choice and precious in the sight of God, that you as living stones are being built up as a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Now, just hang on to that. We'll come back to it a little bit. Verses 9 and 10. Peter here is quoting really from the Old Testament, but he's applying it to New Testament believers. He says, "But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who has called you out of darkness and into his marvelous light." And then he reminds us, he says, "For once you were not a people, but now you're the people of God. You had not received mercy, but you have now." What does all that mean? What it basically is saying is that you and I, that this is the solid rock doctrine of what is known as the priesthood of all believers. This really is the passage that separates the Protestant church from the Catholic church. Because as a living stone, as a royal priesthood, as a chosen people, you have direct access to God, is what Peter is saying here. Peter's saying, if you want to talk to Christ, you don't need to come through me. You don't need to come to the pastor and say, "Pastor, I need you to pray for me because I need to hear from the Lord." And then, no, you are God's representative on earth, is what that means. You're a chosen race. Just as the Jews were chosen, we're part of the new covenant. We're chosen. We're a royal priesthood. What does that mean? That means that we represent Christ to other people. You are all saints. Now, I know that's hard with some of you for me to say that, but if I were to ask who all the saints are in this room, you would probably go, "Well, there aren't any," but you all are. You're all saints. You're all part of the royal priesthood. You not only get to represent Christ to other people, you get the privilege, which we took earlier in the service, to speak to Christ on behalf of others. When your neighbor or your friend or your child
maybe your spouse says, pray for me. You can do that. You don't have to bring it to the priest or the pope or to the bishop. And so we're the church. And if we are the church, we then need to be the church. And Jesus, in one of the most important things he said about the church, about being the church, and he was so emphatic that he spoke of those in the church that are the church, that when the church, when we become, when we really are the church, when we act like the church, when we carry out what the church is supposed to do, we're blessed. When we fail to be the church as believers, he says, you're cursed. We're going to look at that today in light of some opportunities that Jesus has put before us. Matthew 25, beginning at verse 31. Matthew 25, beginning at verse 31. When Jesus spoke these words, when he shared this teaching, this truth, he had arrived in Jerusalem for the final time. He is in the last week of his life. He has experienced the joy of the triumphant entry. He has experienced the sorrow of having to cleanse the temple of wrong things that were going on there. And he very emphatically now, in driving home a truth to true followers, he's saying, if you're going to be a follower of mine, then one of the basic ways that we get to be the church, one of the ways we are the church, is not when we gather for worship, that is a way, and not when we do Bible teaching or discipling, but when we are meeting the needs of others. And he describes a scene in the future. If we were to look to the future, we're going to be a part of this scene. If you're a believer, you're going to be a part of this. And it says, but when the Son of Man comes in His glory, he's talking about when the Son of Man, when Jesus returns and it's time for what is known as the judgment seat, when we're going to have to give an account, He will sit on His glorious throne and all the nations will be gathered to Him, and He will separate them one from another as the shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He'll put the sheep on His right and the goats on His left. He goes on to say, then the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me. And then the righteous are going to answer. They're basically going to say what you and I would say, Jesus, listen, I've been a believer for a lot of years. I've been a pastor. I've talked to you. I've heard from you. But I've never physically seen you. And I certainly have not given you bread or drink or clothes or visited you in any of these times. They're going to say that to him. That's what, and you know how Jesus is going to say this. And it's where we get our idea of operation inasmuch. What does inasmuch mean? Inasmuch as you have done it to the least of these, my brethren, you have done it unto me. Now he goes on to finish out the passage, and we're going to do that very quickly. And he says, listen, if you're going to be the church, then one of the main emphases of the church, one of the main duties of the church, is to meet people's needs. We need to meet people's needs within the church. We need to look after our own. We do that by praying, by giving, by helping, by sharing, by encouraging. There are a number of ways to do that. But we also need to meet the needs of others. As we saw last week when we looked at the story of the Good Samaritan, the religious people passed to the other side. They didn't want to get involved. But the Samaritan, the despised one, showed who his neighbor was. So what does all this mean to us? I want to finish out the passage because he says to some others, then he will say to those on his left, depart from me, ye cursed ones, into the eternal fire which has been prepared for the devil and his angels. Here's the bad part. He says,
for I was all of these things. I had needs, and you did nothing to meet them. And they're going to say, Jesus, when in the world did we ever see you this way? Had we seen you this way, we certainly would have met the need. And he says, when you fail to do it to the least of these, my brethren. Ladies and gentlemen, the church today is not the church of the book of Acts. Too many of our churches today were focused on a country club atmosphere, and the idea is what the church can do for me instead of what I can do for my church and for my community and my world. And we're going to find that when the great gathering comes, there are going to be people that say, that, Lord, I attended every Sunday and this is no reflection on this ministry. Or Robin or Greg or any of the others. I attended every Sunday. I was in Sunday school. I was here. I was this. I was that. I attended every worship service I gave. You know. And he's going to say, yeah, but you, that's all you ever did. I never knew you. Why? Because you didn't see the need. Now, we live in a world that is in crisis. I don't care what Donald says. I don't care what Hillary says. I don't care what Barack says. Last I'll talk about them today, okay? We got a world that's in crisis. In Africa, children are going to die within the next 30 days, and we're talking about the idiocy of the election in the Americas. They're going to starve to death. Here in our community, there are needs. So what does all this mean? The need sometimes becomes so overwhelming. I don't know about you. I've done it. I'm sure you've done it too. Where one of those commercials comes on, and for 22 cents a day, you can do this. And I go, I can't. I can't do any more. So I find something else. In order to be the church, you and I, instead of just talking about in generalities, we have the chance to meet some needs that Christ has presented to us. We've talked about it this morning. We've been talking about it for weeks. We're going to spend a few more minutes talking about it now. We have two glaring needs. First of all, the children of our community, right around this community. And some of you right around more than I do. Brenda, you and Jenny see them probably. You see their parents probably more than you do the children. Sarah, I know some of you and Debbie have been out and others have been out. And you see their children all over this community. They have two glaring needs. The first glaring need is most of them are not saved. They do not know Christ as their personal Savior. And they're growing up in a home where Christ is not presented. And there are churches all over this area. They need the gospel. One of the reasons that I was so encouraged by the group that led and then you that followed through in completely redoing our children's area. Let me tell you about that. Sarah a couple of weeks ago had some kinfolk here. He's a Methodist minister. He came and went through it and he said, he's taking pictures. He said, I got to take this home. Rosa sent pictures to other churches. It's on Pinterest. I don't pin or trist. Okay, you know. I have enough time sending a text. If you ever get a text from me and it's got a misspelled word in it, it's the phone's fault. Okay. Their needs here. What's the second need? We got children that are hungry and are need, and we're in the process of trying to meet that. But it's not enough for us just to know that they have the need. It's time, and we're going to do some of that. We're going to meet the need. There is a glaring need, righty? Salvation. They have physical needs, as I shared last week. And we're talking about taking up school supplies. Debbie told you, just to supply one school for six grades is over $200. $200. That's a lot of money. That's just for six grades. That's maybe for six children. Unless they decide to divide it up. And we realize, so there is that need. We've got our food box ministry. We counted. We think we have about 60. We're going to have folks coming here. I'm going to encourage you again. It's in your bulletin. It's on the back of your prayer list about the food box. You go, well, I gave my $20. Big whoop. If you go to the village or you can't go to Cracker Barrel. If you do, you eat cheaper than I do, which is probably evident. But I can't go to Cracker Barrel or any of those places and not spend right at $18 plus tip. Except when I'm with Margaret. She gives a discount.
We've got an opportunity with Operation Inasmuch. What do we need? We need volunteers.
We need volunteers to do the following things. One, to be there. It's going to be hot. It may be hot as blue blazes, but we have fun. But we need volunteers. And you go, well, I've never gone where it's too hot. We got tents. You will cool off. Okay? Some of you will go out and sweat in your garden, pulling and doing what you do, but it's too hot to go out there and help those children. Don't get me started, okay? We need volunteers. We need volunteer givers. We know some of you can't go. You physically can't go, we understand. Can you give a little bit extra so we can meet that need? We need volunteer prayers. Folks, we're doing something for our community that the devil hates. We're trying to meet needs. We're trying to spread the gospel. We're trying to help hungry people realize that this place with the steeple and with the playground and all those other things, that that's just not some closed country club that I can't handle. They care about me. We have that need. We need volunteers. If you can't do anything but pray, let me tell you, that is one of the greatest things you can do. If you will tell us, I'm going to be praying for you that day. I'm going to be praying for you. Second glaring need. We have a baby on the way. Soon, within 10 days or shorter, we're going to have a new baby that's part of its congregation. The baby's mother is in prison. That baby is part of Holloway's. And I want to say right now, I spent a lot of time picking on her from time to time. My wife, I am so proud of, because when she first found this out, she fought her husband because her husband was mad. I was disappointed in my adopted daughter, as I call it, Brittany. I was disappointed in the fact that she was back in prison. I was disappointed that she was pregnant out of wedlock for the second time. And I was not happy. And she said, I'm going to come back here. And I looked Rose in the eye the first time. And I said, I'll have a hard time hugging her like I did the first time. You know what the Holy Spirit said to me? Thank you, prodigal brother. You sure aren't one of mine. We got a baby. We have some needs. Summer and Will have done something that is just amazing. They've done something I wouldn't do. They're going to keep that baby for probably 3 months. And look after that baby. We've already started through some of our folks meeting needs. Folks, if you have baby items and you have, that's our baby. We need to make sure that the nursery's ready and our nursery folks are ready, because that baby and other babies are here. It's not walking babies anymore. It's little bitty babies. We have a need we can meet. You can meet. We struggle around here to get somebody to keep the nursery from time to time, or to show up back there, or to be there. We need to do that. There is a growing need. We have a community that's hungry. If you don't believe it, just spend a few hours, just spend a few minutes at the Upper Room Food Ministry. How many clients this past week, Brendan? On a guess. 90. 90 came through there to get some food. We're not at 90 food boxes yet. We're going to be advertising it down there, folks. To the least of these, I'm going to hush up right now. We're through. But what we have to decide is, are we going to be like the goats? Are we just going to think about the church? And or are we going to be the church? Now, I know I'm talking to some of you going, well, I got plans that Saturday. Break them. You will enjoy being here. If you don't come but for a little while, if you don't give but a little bit, every little bit helps. And we're going to meet. Why are we doing it? Because Jesus called us to. Now, I know some folks ask me, well, Brittany probably doesn't deserve our love. If we think about it from a community standpoint, we brought that child in the first time when she was having her first baby. And we gave her a baby shower and did all this stuff and looked after her. The baby got born and she disappeared. And they asked Jesus, if my brother sins against me or my sister sins against me, how many times should I forgive them? 7 times, said the disciples. And Peter said no. Or Jesus said no. But 7 times 70, 490. Sometime in November, if the Lord leads,
a little girl with two children
is going to walk through that door. She's a member of this church. And that day we'll discover whether we are the church or we aren't. And we can discover it today. We've got needs. We've got a community that has needs, and you can help us meet them. If you can't do anything, stay home that Saturday. Pray for us, because the devil hates it. Pray that we get good weather. Pray it won't be 210 in the shade, or I'm getting in the water slide and staying there. And come, if nothing else, let your community, let your children of your neighborhood know, let people know we're here. Why? Because you have been before, and you're going to be this time. We're going to be the church. Let's pray together. Father,
I am so excited about all that you're doing in this place. Lord, we talked,
you had me share about transitioning our ministry back in January, where we crossed the Jordan. And Lord, we've begun that journey, and we're making new progress and new ideas, and we've taken and we've transitioned our children's areas and going to be making further steps in our children's ministry. Lord, we've got some transitioning to do still. We've got some transitioning to do still in the area of you, in the area of our worship services. We're going to do some transitioning. Lord, you're working on me. Help me to share and lead this congregation. But God, most of all, help us to focus on our community, because they need us and we need them. Amen.